Support comes from UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance, presenting the Sullivan Fortner Trio on April 24th at the Nimoy, a recipient of the 2026 Bell Jazz Artist Award. The composer and bandleader's massive talents have earned him a reputation as an inimitable and versatile artist. Fortner gained global acclaim for his work with fellow Grammy winner Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, cementing his status as one of today's most prolific and masterful jazz musicians. Further information and tickets at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
Hey, this is Michael O'Keefe. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, and 99.5 Ridgecrest and China Lake. Radio powered by the people.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you. For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Oh, yes, the Poach Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 on a Friday at 3 p.m. I'm Jeff Keller.
Esteban Sul in the casa. What's happening, Jeffrey?
Man. And I'm Lalo Alcaraz, not in the casa, but loosely nearby.
The invisible voice of Lalo Alcaraz on...
Is it AI or is it Lalo?
I don't know.
It's AI Alcaraz Intelligence.
We can't be sure. But
it makes a lot of mistakes.
Rest assured, KPFK does not have the money to train AI to bring you back to life after you die. Lalo.
Thank God.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired, guys. How's it going?
Man, it's great, man. It's a sunny day. Got a lot done. Going to be slinging jokes this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Comedy Chateau. So come on
out.
Show's at 8. It's been crowded. It's been crazy because there's been a lot of crazy stuff going on.
I can't catch up.
I can't keep writing jokes to catch up with these fools.
You just need to read the headlines.
Like, it's almost like the joke's on us at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we're in the middle of a big practical joke. I'm waiting for what's that guy who was married to Demi Moore come out and say, y'all been punked.
Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, that's who it is.
I keep forgetting his name. He's an Epstein finalee.
Epstein.
I mean, well,
you know, the other day I had, can you hear me? Yeah. The other day I had never taken these conspiracy theory posts about, you know, like the Large Hadron Collider did something and we slipped into another dimension, but I'm starting to believe it.
Oh, you're talking about that super collider in Europe.
Yeah.
But the one thing, you know what, the one thing, I thought that was kind of weird too, and everyone was so worried that it was going to disrupt the reality that we're in, right? But the thing is that it was shortly after that experiment that the Mandela effect issue started coming around. And they kind of coincide. If you look at the first reports of the Mandela effect and the super collider experiment, they happened around the same time.
Well, you do know this is all scripted, right? This is the whole thing's scripted. It's
The Poacher Hour Power?
No. The government, everything's happening. It's all scripted. It's out of control. Come on. Project 2025. They told us it was going to be scripted, and it is.
You're right. We're just following. We're following for their...
The banana in the tailpipe.
They put the banana in our tailpipe, and it's not good. It's an old Eddie Murphy trick.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Every morning I wake up and go, what did he do today? Did we lose Lalo? Is he still there?
Was that in the plan though? The 2025 plan was put the banana in the tailpipe. I mean, to keep gaslighting the people, to keep them off balance.
It's in the subtext.
It's in the subtext. I get it.
It's subtext. Every morning, it's a new banana, guys.
Oh my God! You know what's crazy is I never thought I would live to see the day where somebody would out-troll Trump. Iran is out-trolling him, man.
On the internet, I wish we could play all those songs on the radio, but they're pretty rated R.
Yes. They're getting hexed. They're getting everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know who knows about all this stuff? It's Patricia Guadalupe.
And does she?
We're going to have Patricia. We're going to have Russell Contreras. We got an action-packed show. Frank Contreras, his cousin, and then Meredith Contreras. No, just kidding. Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown, on a very big, fat banana of a bunch of our power today. But I think it's time to strike up the band before I say anything worse.
Come on, band. Do your thing.
Guadalupe, Bojo correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello, folks.
Woohoo! Patricia.
And we're back after just a few days, and I'm hearing myself.
Who is it?
Do you have the echo thing going on again?
I'm here.
It's because you need to be heard twice. That's why.
it's so wonderful to be back, and now I think the mics are working, which is pretty cool. So, the echo that you hear might have heard in the background was me going, "Oh my God, here we go again with all of the craziness going on." I'm gonna first though start with some really good news, which is that there was a special election last night in New Jersey to fill a congressional seat left vacant by Mikey Sherrill, a Democrat who ran for governor. The winner is Bernie Sanders' former national political director, Ana Lilia Mejia. And she won, the margin of victory was so large that the minute that the polls closed at 8 o'clock Eastern last night, AP basically called the race. She won by over 30 points to her Republican opponent, a guy who never really answered all of the questions about whether he was a Trump supporter or not. Now, this particular election is only to fill the remaining seat in up until January, but Mejia says that she's going to go ahead and run for the full two-year term. Now, this makes her the 19th Latina in Congress, and the fact that she is considered very progressive in the Bernie Sanders camp has, you can imagine, a lot of Republicans scratching their head and not too happy about their prospects, which continue to dim, because you have now President the president right now in Phoenix, Arizona, at a Turning Point USA event where he's talking to young people. We're about the latest poll from Yale University. The Yale Youth Poll shows about 70% of people age 18 to 25 do not support the president. Even among young Republicans, the number is not that high, but it's still in the negative for him. And the event, as you can imagine, has caused already a lot of stir. Where it's called the Build the Red Wall. So it's basically his way, or the Republicans on the conservative side of getting as much of the youth vote as possible, which is a good distraction today from all of the Trump and Vance, Pope and Jesus stuff is, that I'm sure you've all heard about, where it's no coincidence that the Pope, Pope Leo, who also happens to be the first American Pope in history, has been sending homilies in English, tweeting in English, putting a lot of social media stuff in English. This all started a couple of weeks ago when he had a speech that he gave, well, homily, a Sunday sermon, complaining or criticizing the Iran war, and the White House just went ballistic. And they continue to, where the president has not endeared himself to a lot of the Catholic community in the U.S., including a lot of Republicans who call it what he's doing blasphemous, where he came out with an AI image of him as Jesus. And he said, no, I wasn't trying to look like Jesus. I was trying to look like a doctor. And then he came out with another one.
Dr. Jesus.
Yeah. And then, of course, social media has been all over the place with it, where they have like paintings of Jesus putting his, you know, when he's walking on water saying, there's my doctor water skiing. There's another one where it says Jesus in the sky saying, there's my doctor saying he's out of my network. I mean, it's, you know, the thing that is saving us from losing our minds a lot of times is social media. And that's one of them. Because you have the recent convert to Catholicism, J.D. Vance, saying probably the most ridiculous thing you can tell any religious person, especially of Pope, well, he should stick to morality issues. He should just stick to moral issues and not get involved in political things. Obviously, not hearing about the liberation theology priest from the 1980s and even now.
And top of that, what do Republicans do all day long is get involved with religion.
Yeah. So,
what are they talking about?
Right. That's the first time I've heard a Republican like J.D. Vance say, hey, let's have some separation of church and state.
Wait, this is the party. This is the party that crashes Grindr every time they have a convention.
Grindr comes to a halt, a grinding halt.
This is the same guy when he converted to Catholicism in 2017, 2018, around that time, he criticized people who were criticizing Pope Francis, saying, no, you know, leave him alone, blah, blah, blah. But of course, at that time, Pope Francis was considered more on the conservative side. And here comes Pope Leo, the first American who can act, the first Pope who can actually vote in a U.S. election. And so you have a lot of Republicans privately saying this is not good. And some Republicans publicly, coincidentally, the ones who are retiring, saying the president should apologize for this kind of thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he should excommunicate himself.
That's another one that people are saying that, you know, maybe they should start some sort of petition to excommunicate J.D. Vance, at least, you know. And then, of course, all of this is going on while the allegations of your former member of Congress, Swalwell, who was also former candidate to the governor's race in California, means that people who were further down on the ballot, including former Congressman Becerra, have surged in the polls. So there's a possibility that, you know, Becerra may hit it with the with voters, and that somebody like Congresswoman Katie Porter are going to fight it out. It has turned the California gubernatorial race on its head because of these horrific allegations, including evidence of text messages and things of women that have come forward saying that Swalwell harassed them. A woman said that he raped her. He denies all of it, but there are some text messages where some of the women said that he has sent them photos, and it's not photos of his dog. You can take out the imagine what I'm talking about there.
It's the photos of his wiener dog.
Yeah, that's it.
Ah, that's stupid.
I knew.
That's a double euphemism to begin with.
Oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, you can always count on Lotto to come through with some creative way of saying it in a nice family friendly way on the radio. It continues, and then you have Hegseth, the defense secretary, in a speech. He had a prayer that actually was fake, not a real prayer. He said, this is from the Bible. It turned out to be
Pulp Fiction.
From Pulp Fiction. That's correct.
Sam Jackson.
It was from the movie Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it was Sam Jackson's speech. Oh, my God. When he getting ready to shoot the kids.
Oh, my. Yeah. I remember that scene.
And rise up to the.
It almost reminded me of the Monty Python movie Life of Brian, where they're like, blessed are the cheesemakers.
You know? It's like a game of telephone. It's like,
It's whack-a-mole. You know, every time something happens and you think it goes away, it doesn't.
Well, it's a good thing to know that, you know, Trump hired only the best. Only the best is what he kept saying, right?
Oh, yeah. They drained the swamp and found bottom feeders.
All the way. Ezekiel 25:17.
That's a tasty burger. Is that how it starts? That's a taste.
The
burger.
Path of the righteous man is beset on all sides.
Do you have something to wash that down with?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's the missing book of Samuel L. Jackson 15-4.
Oh my God. You can't make this stuff up. I'm telling you, somebody's writing this.
I'd like to quote from the Burger Royale, you know. So, you know, Congress is back this week, but they really haven't done much of anything. They're looking at the budget with the Homeland Security folks saying we need more money. We need to, you know, because there's also the possibility of shutting down the government again because they haven't gotten that budget done. And the possibility that the Epstein victims are going to come in and testify in Congress. So there's always that, because if you remember the Epstein files, you know, they're not on the front burner like they've been before, because of course there's all this distraction here. And then Melania Trump, the first lady, came out and she said, I had nothing to do with any of this Epstein stuff, out of the blue. And it turns out that one of her best friends, who was married to a Trump supporter, ended up getting deported. And that person said, I'm going to expose you, Melania, to all of this. And that's when Melania came out and said, oh, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. and now I'm.
Yeah, this thing is not fully unraveled yet, right?
Melania is just trying to protect her own back here.
Yeah, well, she said that she wants Congress to have hearings, which is something that the president himself hasn't said, you know, that this is something that they want to do. So you can best believe that there are members of Congress that haven't forgotten about any of that. But everyone is so distracted by everything, including this whole Pope, J.D. Vance, Trump mess, insanity, and here people forget that the Pope is a guy from the south side of Chicago, and he has answered, well, I'm not afraid of the president, I'm not afraid of Trump, I'm not afraid of the White House, I'm going to continue to say what's on my mind and speak to what I am good at, which is preaching the gospel. And he hasn't said anything that's not true. You know, you would expect a religious leader to say we shouldn't have wars, but somehow this particular White House thinks that that's bad.
Hey, the Pope knows a guy. Come on now. But, he ain't scared.
but Patricia, it seemed like Trump was trying to really deflect, right? He was using all these things, ICE and this and that. And ultimately, it was war, which is the ultimate distraction when you're doing a political distraction campaign. And he pushed the button on that because he wants it to go away, right? The Epstein files. And it's not working. It might actually be backfiring on him because I don't think he thought about like how the Iranians could cut off the strait and mess with the economy and or even foresee the Pope coming out against him and all these things. That, like how this ineptness that he has in this administration as to just trying to get away from this or even his wife turning on him and putting the attention back onto the Epstein files is another turn. So what more is he going to do? Is he going to push the nukes?
Well, he says that there is a ceasefire deal already and that in the next couple of days, this is his words, not mine, that in the next couple of days, they're going to come up with a deal to end the whole thing. Iran continues to say, we don't know what you're talking about. And you have to remember that this particular president decided to do this without checking with anybody, without checking with Congress, without checking with the UN, without checking with allies. And you have a country that is controlling a major route for oil, petroleum, and other commerce to go through, and to the point that you have some European airlines saying, you know, we only have 6 or 7 weeks left of jet fuel, and we're coming into the high summer travel. So this is an administration that doesn't talk, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. They don't talk about anything. They're completely disorganized on these things. And he knows, he has to know that the average, the majority of voters or just residents here are not supporting what is going on with Iran. So far, aside from the gas prices, most Americans have not been as deeply affected as they have in Lebanon, in Iran, in other parts of the world. But this can't continue like this. And so that's why he's over in Arizona talking to these voters and trying to deflect from that. Criticizing the Pope, doing all of these things to try and say, we're wrapping this up, don't worry about it. Well, it's not the case at all. And the American taxpayers are on the hook for billions already with this, at the same time that domestically a lot of the agencies are operating without a full budget yet. So it doesn't look good right now, and it certainly looks terrible for the Republicans in November. And if there are a lot of races that the Cook Political Report and some other ones that follow these things have said they were trending Republican, now they're toss up. And the example that I gave you when we first started talking about this special election in New Jersey, yes, New Jersey is a blue state. But the fact that this particular person won by such a wide margin in a special election where most people don't come out and vote should tell you a lot. And look at what happened in Hungary. You had J.D. Vance go over there and support the person who had been in there, Viktor Orban, for 16 years. And he was trounced with more than 80% of the people coming out and voting against him. And this is the same guy who, among all the terrible things that he's done, he does not support mixed marriages. So you had J.D. Vance, who was married to an Indian American, going over there and supporting a guy who does not believe in the marriage that he himself has. A lot of people are seeing that particular hypocrisy and saying, this cannot continue like this.
Well, yeah, they, Patricia, do you know whose legacy really has suffered the most under Trump's lies? It's Aesop. He did that story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Right.
And it's just not holding up. It's not holding up.
Well, you
up.
Know, the issue is, to me, the real issue is Trump is just trying to save his investment in the Gaza Strip. That's what he's really trying to do. He's trying to figure out how he can balance saving face here, but steal back Bibi.
Houses so and he hotels. Can cut, he wants houses and hotels.
He cut a deal with Bibi to do that.
Yeah.
But he wants that beachfront property, which
That is one of the most disgusting deals that I've ever heard of a sitting president to try. It's crazy.
You have to remember that Netanyahu tried to tell presidents going all the way back to Jimmy Carter to do this.
Yep.
And every single one of them said no. And it wasn't until Trump came along that he said, oh, yeah, okay. And in the Situation Room, Rubio even said, who's been very silent lately, by the way, this is not a good idea, and they still went ahead with it. And what ended up happening is in the background, there are all of these deals to clear all of that rubble, because that's basically what it is now. Throw all those people out of there.
Yep.
And open up a hotel, you know? Yep. That's basically what it is. That's his plan.
That's what Jared negotiated.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to remember that Jared is getting paid a finder's fee in the millions by Saudi Arabia and other folks to do these kinds of deals, to basically have all these golf courses and properties with the Trump name, including he's trying to do, this is why what he's trying to do in here in D.C. with the working on the White House and putting in that sort of Arc de Triomphe kind of thing. But that's basically what it is all about.
Yep. People don't talk about it, but he's a businessman. It's always about money with him, and people forget that.
Yeah, but you have to also remember that he's a businessman who doesn't pay his bills. And there
That's
are a couple
right.
of even his lawyers who were complaining they haven't gotten paid from when they first defended him during the whole impeachment trial in the first administration. So.
He wanted to pay them in crypto, and they wasn't taking it.
Well, then maybe he can give him a couple of bananas now, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, most definitely. So.
Couple tailpipes, couple bananas.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens next week when they all come back on Monday.
Yeah. Hey, Patricia, I know it's about 15 minutes after we're talking about Dems flipping elections, but I heard that in the beautiful little town of Whittier, California.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
There. Every single incumbent was thrown out that was running. It was three incumbents, including the mayor that had been there for about 10 years, just going back every 2 years and really entrenched. And people are just, they blew it on when ICE came. They didn't do anything when ICE was raiding Whittier, and then they... They also were threatening to cut down the trees in Uptown Whittier, and people suspected there was kickbacks involved, and there was other politicizing the nonpartisan office, and people just didn't want it anymore. And finally, Whittier has a majority Latino. City council and mayor, and the guy's name is Becerra.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And for those of you who are fans of history, Whittier is Richard Nixon's hometown.
That's right. That sound you hear is him rolling around in his grave.
Well, you know, the good thing for Becerra that's running is, Katie Porter is not clean.
Yeah.
She was accused of having a hostile work environment by her staffers.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, but Sarah's got a good chance.
He most definitely does. You know, he has a good reputation from Congress and as the Labor Secretary, Attorney General in California.
Calling me banana at the end.
I'm not told to play.
Patricia, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power and updating the circus. It never disappoints.
We'll see what the circus brings next week.
That's right. What
kind of clowns are we talking about?
Clowns with bananas, for sure. thank you, Patricia Guadalupe, live from Washington, D.C. You are listening to the Pocho Hour Power. We'll be right back with more Pochismo and also Russell Contreras.
All right.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. And you will know my name.
Daylight come and we wander. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, bunch. Daylight come and we
give a gift to KPFK and yourself when you let us take your unwanted vehicle off your hands. Not only will your donation help support the on-air programs our community relies on every day, but you even qualify for a tax deduction. Go to kpfk.org/cars or call 877-573-5288. That's 1-877-KPFK-AUTO to learn more.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Power to the people. Power. Oh, yeah, this is KPFK 90.7 FM, the Pocho Hour of Power. I'm Jeff Keller with
Lalo Alcaraz and Esteban Zul.
That's right, man. Did you like that mix? Did you like
that? Oh, that was great. I was dying. He's killing me.
Come on,
our
man.
Great sound, our board operator Oz over there cracking us up.
Yes,
he's
sir.
The fifth Beatle. They call him the fifth Pocho.
That's right. He killed it. We told him what we wanted, and he made it happen.
Too funny. Well, we have another guest to report on domestic affairs, so to speak. And he's got a theme song, so
there it is.
It's Russell Contreras reporting from Axios. It's Russell Contreras directly from Axios.
Yes, sir.
Russell Contreras.
You're listening to Fiercely Indie.
Whoa, what happened there?
That was crazy.
It's Pochismo in retrograde. Here we are with Russell Contreras live from New Mexico. Russell, welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power, man.
Welcome. Good to be with you, Pochis, Pochexes, and Poches, and Poch Infinities. Really good to be back here in the Pocho Hour Power. Big news this week, as you know, as Patricia just said, there's an escalating tensions with the Pope and President Trump. But one thing that we're looking at that you'll see next week, actually this weekend here at Axios.com, the Pope's tensions that we are seeing with the president is unusual because this is the first Pope whose first English, his first language is English. So there's...
Oh, that's crazy.
Before, it used to be that when a Pope spoke and they were being critical of the United States, Vatican could say, oh, it was lost in translation. He didn't mean it so harsh. Not with this Pope. He's speaking English, he's speaking clearly, and he's speaking directly to the American people. He can go to social media and shape news coverage just like the president and speaking his language. This Pope, Pope Leo, who grew up in Chicago and has roots in New Orleans, can and does speak to American culture directly to the public. That's what's driving tensions with the president, because Pope Leo understands American culture, he understands American politics, and he's taken a moral authority from an American point of view.
And unlike Melania Trump, he actually can speak like five languages, right?
That's right. And I'm reminded, fun fact, the last time, Lalo, you and here were here in New Mexico, and we were at a bar, and somebody did not serve you some drinks, and you went crazy in Spanish. Unfortunately, the waitress didn't understand you and came to me and was like, what is he saying? I'm like, oh, he's just congratulating me. He's thanking you for helping out his sobriety. And it was really amazing. When you don't have the access to the language, one, and there's a translator, you can make things up or you can escalate it. There's nothing around with the Pope. He says what he means and he's speaking directly. That's driving tensions. This is the first time in history we've had something like this between the Vatican and the United States and the growing tensions that we've never seen in decades.
I think that photo, have you seen that photo of Pope Leo when he's like getting, I don't know if he's getting ordained or what, but he's dressed like a Blues Brother. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and he's a Chicago White fan, Sox fan too, which is very unfortunate because they're one of the worst teams in baseball. So I don't know if his saint is Saint Jude, the saint of lost causes, like many of us. But if he was, I think he's even more identifiable.
Wow, man, that's yeah. It's a very funny, bizarre situation, and he's losing support from his followers. So I think that's awesome too.
Yeah, if you looked at a recent poll, there was an NBC poll that showed Pope Leo had the highest positives of all celebrities, well-known people, way more than the President Trump. President Trump has a large disapproval rating. Pope Leo does not. So even amongst Americans, Pope Leo is doing well in poll and approval. The president is not right now.
Wow. I think gonorrhea is still testing higher, so to speak, than Trump. What else is happening in the world of Axios? And please tell everyone, Russell, how can people get a hold of different columns and emails and reports? Breaking news. You guys are hot on breaking news. You're the hottest outlet out there.
Axios.com. Go straight there. Go to Axios.com/newsletters. Get Mike Allen's AM and PM email newsletter right to your box every day. In addition, you can get a finish line, which is advice from top CEOs and top Axios writers about life's struggles. Other thing in the news, a little bit of sadness. Anti-Latino hate crimes in the U.S. has soared to new records last year. Overall, even as overall hate crimes decline, Latinos bias crimes into the top three most targeted categories for the first time in 34 years of hate crime collecting data. Means that because of the, many folks, experts argue, because of the immigration crackdown, overall hate crimes fell 11% last year, but anti-Latino hate crimes rose 18% to a record 1,014 incidences in the United States. And right behind them, anti-Sikh crimes also shot up 3,700% since 2000.
Anti-what crimes?
Anti-Sikh crimes. Anti-Sikh crimes.
Oh, the Sikh people. Exactly. Sikh people are cool people, man. They're like so chill. And
it's unfortunate because a lot of these hate crimes, people are confusing them with Muslims as if that's okay.
Yeah.
And they attack them. They're not bothering anybody. And this is something that has shot. There was only six anti-Sikh crimes in 2015. 228 last year.
Does that include ICE?
It does not. Yeah. I mean, this is just a reported crime from the city. Right? That's a good point. Yeah. No, these are cities reporting crime, and not all cities have turned their data in.
Right.
So this may be going up even higher.
You know what? My advice is when you see a Sikh person in a turban, just pay for your liquor and leave. You know what I mean?
They're usually here in New Mexico. They're not in liquor stores, so I can't speak to that. But they are in other areas, like, I don't know, the medical field. My doctor was one. So, yeah. You know, he's often telling me my blood pressure is low. I never wanted to attack him. I wanted to attack my blood pressure. This guy was, like, saving my life. So there you go.
And we got a lot of truckers out in the Central Valley and also farmers. That are Sikh, you know, so everybody calm down. I don't like to see all these young people doing, you know, TikToks and Instagram posts and screaming about Muslims. That's like very disturbing. It's all made up propaganda, too. It's all straight from, you know, the political playbook, I think, and the rest of the internet. But it's really... This has gone worse. We should be progressing, people.
In addition to that, there's also anti-Semitism. Anti-Jewish crimes have gone down about 29%. So that's a positive. But it's inundating social media where people are attacking American Jews over Israel. Whether they're related, have any opinion about Israel or not, they're facing the anti-Semitism. That is disturbing. In other news... Americans, especially Gen Zers, well, just Gen Zers, we're seeing a religious resurgence among Gen Z men. This is coming at a time where overall religion is declining in the U.S. We've had the historic number of people who say they have no religious affiliation. Gen Z men, we're starting to see a slight uptick in those that say religion's important and church attendance. Men between the ages of 18 and 29, according to a Gallup poll released, it said 42% of them say religion is very important. That's up from 28% just a few years ago. Also, they're saying they go to church more. But interesting, Gen Z women say do not agree with that, and Gen Z women are going to church less. This is one of the first generations where men are going to church at higher rates than women. Women, Gen Z women, just aren't embracing various religions, organized religions like Christianity. Who knew, as one of them told me, that reading a Bible that says they must submit to the other gender is not attractive to them, and they're not investing in this religion. However, there's some books to say, look, these Gen Z men going to church, this is a sign of a religious revival. People are going back to church. But experts I've talked to said, hold up now, even though you're seeing a slight increase, this is nothing like the Third Great Awakening of the early 1800s and nothing like the post-World War II religious boom right after the war. The numbers, you may see some pews a little bit more full, but they're getting empty. Tens of thousands of churches are expected to close by the next decade. And there's a record number of Americans, 29%, who identify right now as religiously unaffiliated. Religious nuns, not nuns, N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S, nothing.
Well, you know, those Gen Z men found another way to get away from their wives for a couple of hours.
This is what we call, Jeff, Theo Bros. These are Theo Bros. Who think about it. They think for many years, many young people are haven't been going to church. They see going to church as a rebellion, where people like in Lalo, my generation, our rebellion was going to bars and drinking tequilas and getting into fights. Their rebellion is going to church. They see this as sort of a countercultural. This is what Theo Bros believe, and this is what they invest. Now,
that's a horrible rebellion.
Yeah, this is a different trend. Is this going to continue? There's going to be a lot of people going to church. It's going to be a massive historic trend.
Worst rebellion ever.
It is.
With the Bible, though, you mean you're looking at like the New Testament that was really kind of way more patriarchal, and considering, you know, the Old Testament and all this stuff. And the Pope is from Chicago, home of the Blues Brothers, but he's trying to send a message of peace, but at the same time, he's coming from this patriarchal pulpit. So, I mean, how is that reconciled? I mean, do we stand by him, or do we just let that go? Or because it's the messenger, right? I mean, regardless of your religious affinity or what you're from, I mean, and I guess that I could see why a lot of women who in the old school days were traditionally the ones who dragged the family to church back in the old 50s and all this stuff. And now the world's changed.
Frank, can you translate what Zul just said?
I mean, Russell.
Russell, I mean.
You got the wrong contrast, brother. Come on, Jeffrey.
all of us Brown Contreras look alike. That's all right.
But no, I mean, especially on the radio.
Well, I'm just saying there's a generational connection to this old.
Sure. Sure. But with Gen Z, I mean, what's happening with the religious resurgence, it's not just going with Catholicism, it's all religions. So it appears to be evangelicals. However, it's not happening with mainland Protestants, like, say, your Methodists, your Presbyterian. They're going to evangelical churches and, to a certain extent, Catholic churches. There's a lot of talk that young men are returning to the Catholic Church. And although some churches, you're seeing some uptick. There's a diocese in Detroit, for example, that says a lot more young men are being confirmed. It's not making up for those that are leaving. You'd have to have about four times as many men come back to the church to take over those who have left. So it's even though they're coming up, it's Gen Z Pentecostals and Gen Z Catholic and Gen Z non-denominationals who return to the church. But it's nowhere making up the ground that those who are leaving. And that's what's troubling a lot of religious leaders.
Huh.
Wow. Well, I know I get dragged to church by women, so.
Not the Theos, though. Theos are going with all guys.
Yeah. No further comment.
The Theobros. Well, I know that you tried to get me to go to that Theobro church when we were, what, when you were in your second house in Irving? It was really weird. It was really strange. I'm glad I suspect the client. And next week, a story I think Jeff will like. Did you know? The fastest growing group in the United States, ethnic group, racial group, it is multiracial Americans. They're the fastest growing group in the United States, but we don't have all the data and we don't have the systems to record them correctly. We can't count them.
Huh.
What's happening is that multiracial Americans are still invisible and you cannot count them accurately, either the census or any kind of health data. It's dismissing and somewhat unclear on how this is changing the United States. They're the fastest growing, but we're not counting them right, and we're not even seeing it. And if you add AI, AI can't even figure out who they are. They actually will miscategorize them. That's coming up next on Axios.com next week.
So J.D. Vance's kids is one example, right?
J.D. Vance's kids and that kid that you had when we were in camp. Oh, never mind.
Damn. Shots fired. Shots fired.
I don't know what that person was doing from. No, never mind. Well,
I'll never call him Frank again.
And then we went on that show in Spanish where they said, "You are not the father." And we didn't understand because it was in Spanish. But Pope Leo did.
All right, Russell.
Damn.
All right.
Back to your cage.
I will be back, and I will return next week. We'll see you. You'll see you next week. Go to axios.com/newsletters to get the latest in your inbox every day, every week. Ahoy.
Well,
all right.
Thanks, Russ. Why don't we take a quick break with a message from the Blues Brothers from Chicago.
That's right.
Stand by your man. Something warm to come to when nights are cold and lonely. Stand by your man.
Sing it, Zool.
Man, I'm standing by my man. Oh. Jeffrey, I'm looking at you.
I'm looking the other way.
You become more attractive to me since you've taken those twerking lessons. I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. You're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power here on KPFK 90.7.
Where's HR when you need them?
Really HR puffing stuff because really I've been puffing HR stuff in the parking lot.
That's the problem.
Oh, Lord. we are now joined by our favorite immigration attorney.
Oh, good. Merritt I need one.
Brown. Yeah, Merritt. I need one. You don't need one to leave, Jeff. Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown. Welcome back to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Hey, Lalo. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is the kind of episode that makes you wonder if you want to come back. But we're really testing everybody here.
Oh, my God. It's out of control.
But it's Friday, at least. It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. Nobody noticed. How are you doing? What's going on in the world of immigration?
Well, I mean, I think we need to celebrate our victories. And, you know, yes. These bans, they have these, you know, 35 country and then 75 country because they're dangerous in the first case. And the 75 country ban, they are all public charges just because they come from certain countries. Although in Guatemala's case, I know for a fact that it's because of its like political reprisals because President Arevalo of Guatemala isn't like following everything. The dictates of the Trump administration. So they're punishing them. So there's litigation and we're getting more and more victories. We're still awaiting the large class action suit for the 75 country ban, but more and more people, your servidor included, servidora, were suing the government on the 75 country bans and we're winning in the federal court. So that's really good news. Yes. And then we have people, Todd Lyons, did you hear? He's the director of ICE, and he's resigning.
Fuera, Todd Lyons.
But I don't know. I was reading up right now to see why, but, you know, time with the family type of thing. But Something's going on with the leadership, and I think they're scrambling to get more coherence and order because you have the Stephen Miller camp that wants to get 3,000 deportees. Is it a day or something crazy like that? But it's not happening because after the assassination of Rene Good and Alex Purdy, you know, things have back, especially in Minnesota, for God's sakes, you know. So they're pulling back on the use of force to a certain extent, although there's a new report that just came out that deaths in ICE custody are shooting up and they're going to surpass the 2004 record, which is almost 30 detainees dead. And there's just no accountability. And I think Congress is growing a spine, more and more, not just Democrats, but Republicans. And they're hauling these people back to hearings and then also cutting off funding, as we know that that's still in effect. And meanwhile, people are getting distracted because of the war in Iran. But I know, I think we have to keep on celebrating those victories for sure. And I think the fact that people are resigning, I think it's a good thing because, again, it's just not sustainable. They're trying to meet quotas. They're using these blanket racist bans just because they can, you know, unless we have people that are challenging them in the federal courts as we are and that are also doing the publicity and the media work, such as you guys that are doing that are so important to correct the record, and that the law states that when a person goes to a consulate to that very important interview, they're out of the United States already, each consular officer has the authority and must make a decision. They can't say, well, it looks like you can return because you're not a public charge, but because you have this blanket ban, you can't go back. I mean, that's a violation of their rights as well as of their U.S. citizen spouse's rights and their U.S. citizen kids' rights that are doing these petitions. So it's really important. You know, we're all experiencing these crazy things. Even CBP, the Border Patrol, they're stopping people from going to their interviews at Ciudad Juarez and confiscating ID documents. I have a client that just had that happen to him yesterday. So I got in touch with his member of Congress. He's going to see the Juarez right now. We anticipate there won't be any problems, but I want his damn license back in his hands from CBP because they had no right to confiscate his identification documents because he was complying with the law. He was leaving the United States to go to his CDJ interview. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's, the good news is that we are fighting like hell. The news is getting out there. We're going to have these protests and boycotts on May 1st. And more people are realizing, and especially on the Republican camp, that even the MAGA camp, that, hey, wait, I thought it was America first. Why are we focusing on Iran? Why are we sending our young men and women to war? And why are we calling it not a war when it is a war? You know, it's just crazy. So I think people are realizing that, you know, this is a hoax in many ways. I think the Trump administration projects out what they're doing. They call other people and other things hoaxes when really they're the ones that are cultivating this culture of confusion. They're mismanaging the government. They're trying to break it apart with any resolution or other alternative to really serve the people. And USCIS, I'm so sorry, but part of your mandate and your title is service. It's service, U.S. citizenship service. So they have to come back to that. That's really important. So we're also organizing, we're organizing real quickly to close a potential vigil in support of the Pope because, you know, I think he's on the right side of justice and we're having this clash of powers and we have to really stand up or we're an accomplice to this, you know, rogue government of ours that's just not respecting the Constitution and basic fundamental human rights.
Yeah, this is, I mean, they it's all like, you know, they're just destabilizing the government so much from the inside and
yeah,
and it's hurting so many people, you know. But can we go back real quick to the what is that situation? They go into Mexico for a hearing, or I don't understand what's
if okay. So if a person came in without documentation, they've been here for a year or more, they need a pardon, okay? And this pardon is about their spouse's extreme hardship or their parents' extreme hardship if they have papers. So my client has a U.S. citizen spouse who petitioned him. We won the pardon, and so he just has to go attend his interview. But on the way out at Otay Mesa, he got stopped. It's like, dude, I'm just trying to go to my interview because the law requires me to leave and I'm obeying the law. He has his pardon in hand and they basically start asking him all these questions about where he did he work in the United States, what's going on, let me see your ID. Oh, okay, we'll take that from you. And it just doesn't make sense. And the officer said, well, I just don't want you sneaking back with your California driver's license. Really? I mean, he's just trying to get his green card the right way.
Yeah.
The law requires that if you're here without documentation, you've got to get a pardon first. You follow the law. You're not a public charge. You get all, we do like 500 questions. We, you know, all the supporting evidence is in the cloud for the U.S. consulate in Ciudad Juarez. And, you know, as he's a Mexican national, he left. But, you know, now he had to get biometric at the border. I mean, it's such a waste of resources. And the bottom line is that both CBP and ICE are just bloated with so much in terms of, they complain they don't have it, but they have way too much power, way too much resources, and they have to spend the money somehow. So why don't we stop people going out of the United States instead of stopping them from coming into the United States? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm glad you're here on the Pocho Hour of Power to help us sort this out. Immigration law is not an easy one, but we're so glad that you're carrying the flag for us.
Always. Not stopping. We're getting better. We're learning so many new things, and we're thinking outside the box as, you know, we have to. And we're you know, people that are, you know, in my case, my clients, immigrants, they don't have the same tools and power that the U.S. government, which is the strongest government in the world, potentially, not now, but and we have to be there for the people that, you know, to cultivate the power that exists with the people already. You know, we're not giving them anything, but we're just guiding them in a way where they can get that green card or the citizenship or whatever, and we have to be prepared and always.
Wow. Well, thank you, Meredith. We really appreciate you. How can people email you and contact you?
As I always say, legal information is power. So we're at infolegal.com.